Fest. With native plants, flowers, fresh herbs, garden art, and herbal products, crafts, silent auction, Lafayette Parish Master Gardeners will answer questions on gardening, fertilizer, plants that attract hummingbirds at the 25th Annual Sunset Herb Fest, sponsored by the Sunset Garden Club, Sunset, Louisiana. Saturday, May 7th, 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. Admission only $5. More info at sunsetherbfestival.com.
Show or the second course of the second course and the second year anniversary of the food show on WGSO. Tom, guess what else it was over the weekend?
Tell me.
It was the anniversary of Amtrak.
Oh, yeah?
Amtrak. One of your favorite things in the whole world.
And there it is.
Yes. You've had many, many wonderful hours spent on Amtrak, haven't you, Tom? I don't know why you're sitting there, but anyway. Many wonderful hours spent on Amtrak. I'm kind of glad that we're not doing any train trips right now, because I don't know that we've been on Amtrak since they changed to their courtyard kind of program. Do you remember when Amtrak would have a dining car and service in the dining car?
Right, that's right.
I think the last train trip, I'm trying to think, the last train trip that you and I took on Amtrak, we went out to Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and I believe it was 2014. And I remember it because we arrived to an earthquake. We were at the car rental when there was an earthquake. And I think it was like March of 2014. And we haven't been on a train since then. In my recollection, anyway. And I don't miss that. I know that you do. But at that time, we spent more than a few hours in the dining car. And then they changed it to where, I call this the courtyard principle. When the Marriott courtyard took their food service out, and then it became kind of like a convenience store where you would just go and pick up some Cracker Jack or something. And there used to be a buffet in the morning at the courtyard. This goes back, I don't know, 25 years or so. And then one day all that was gone and it became this fast pickup thing. And they did that to Amtrak a few years ago. I don't remember how many years ago, but I remember you being very disappointed when you heard that was coming down the pipe. So I don't think you've been back on a train since then, Tom.
I haven't been. No, I haven't.
Yeah, so you haven't had to experience that new version of Amtrak. Gosh, Tom, everything changed. All the things that you loved are gone now. It's too bad.
Yeah,
anyway,
they cut it down to where it was just a snack here.
Yeah,
and
right.
As you mentioned.
Right, which is too bad.
And it was doing that before it even got down.
Well, it was moving in that direction for sure. But yeah. I think they just sort of wiped out all of that. And then, of course, you know, COVID happened. So I don't even know how that would affect things now. I'm sure not in a good way. So I guess we should go on a train just to see what it's like now.
I would. Which one is it, out in the west or is it on this side?
Well, we would probably go to Los Angeles, but I don't know. We'll see. You have written, Tom, that Amtrak was born in 1971. This would have been yesterday on May Day. The federally subsidized National Railroad Passenger Corporation took over the operation of almost all long-distance passenger trains across America on that day. The first thing it did was permanently cancel about half of them. Passenger rail was a very sick service, squeezed by improved highways and better automobiles in the short-distance market and the much faster airlines for longer trips. Amtrak coordinated what was left into a national system, pulling together the best equipment from the participating railroads. A few of those rail cars are still operating. Amtrak's dining cars operate much as diners had for decades, with small kitchens performing actual cooking of substantial menus served by waiters who at least attempted to follow the Pullman rule book. Don't you think that's been gone for a long time, Tom?
It has been gone a long time and not much been used since then.
I mean, you've been on trains.
I love trains.
I know you do. And you've been on trains since Amtrak took over. When would you say that all of that kind of nice service from the past, like you say, the Pullman notebook, when would you say that ended? Because I went on a train in, I want to say,
the '20s, wasn't it?
No,
trips to Europe.
No, I don't do trains in Europe. I think when I went, it was 1978, and I didn't experience anything that remotely looked like something from the Pullman notebook. Of course, now, I didn't travel like you did. I traveled in coach. You always traveled with either in the roomette or a bedroom where you get your meals included, right? The meals are included in that, aren't they?
They are. For the
Anyway, I'd be curious to see what it's like now. All of that has been diluted. Many of the kitchens were replaced by banks of freezers and microwave ovens. China, glassware, and silverware went away in favor of plastic everything. Occasionally, Amtrak had spates of upgrading its diners with better serviceware, regional menus, and more real cooking, but inevitable budgetary problems usually made those improvements temporary. Tom says he rides the train often enough to report that the food is edible and occasionally very good in the dining cars, but nothing to write home about, although you certainly have the time to do so if you're on a train. A new development comes from a few companies that have renovated old passenger rail cars and gone back to the best service from the golden years. They tack their beautiful cars onto the Amtrak trains and go all over the country. Tom, maybe we should have done that instead of the Orient Express. For the same price, or probably less, we could have done that.
Well, that's for sure.
They tack their beautiful cars onto the train and go all over the country. The more prominent is Pullman, which has no connection with the Pullman company of old. Tom keeps hoping the service will become more widespread. I haven't seen any private rail cars lately. Is it called the Pullman company, Tom, these private rail cars that you can take?
It often is, usually is. But the Pullman company is a historic company. Changed the world, really, when they opened up it after.
They have a chain of hotels in Europe.
I have no doubt.
They have a chain of hotels called Pullman.
And we have one still that's around our areas. And it was with the help of Marianne.
Tom, there's another thing in your almanac from yesterday. The first meals cooked in an airplane for service to passengers, they were concocted today in 1927 aboard a flight from London to Paris. Think about that for a second. I don't really think of air travel before mid-20th century. The idea that Orville Wright and Wilbur Wright took the first flight in, I want to say, 1905. That's 22 years later. to think that there was a flight across the ocean. It's kind of impressive. The airline was Imperial Airways, which was a predecessor of British Airways. The food was neither fish nor fowl. It was rumored. I guess that's a joke, Tom. I don't really get it, though. 556-9696 is the number. Tom, do you remember when we first went on the air today, 2 years ago, for the reboot of the food show? The first day was a disaster. The phones melted down the board. Patty, you weren't there for that. But we did a lot of promotion, and all the people who had been dispersed from the HD nonsense were very excited to call, and it kind of melted the board the first day that we were on the air. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
Steakhouse has been a favorite since the first time I discovered it on Mardi Gras Day. This old-fashioned steakhouse hasn't changed much since it opened in 1934. I love the steaks. Here is prime beef, dry-aged in-house, a great T-bone or porterhouse steak. The Vojkovich family has welcomed generations of locals to this special place, and they'd love to welcome you. Crescent City Steakhouse, 1001 North Broad, 821-3271. When you're awake, the things you think come from the dreams you dream. Thought has wings, and lots of things are seldom what they seem.
Yes, indeed. 556-9696 is the number. If you would like to talk to us, we would love to talk to you. Someone called and said that they would like to know more details about Mary Lee's Bake Shop. So they wanted to know if it was next weekend. It is not next weekend, because next weekend is Mother's Day. And the Greyhound, where she is popping up and will be popping up on Sundays henceforth, she is not going to be doing it next week, because the Greyhound is doing their own Mother's Day brunch, which I'm sure is going to be delish. So it will be back the following Sunday and every Sunday after that. It's called Bogafalia Bake Shop. If you want to go to the Instagram page, it's at Bogafalia, B-O-U-G-U-E. No, it's not B-O-U. It's B-O-G-U-E. F-A-L-A-Y-A underscore bake shop. You can find out some details there. So, Tom, did you like the bake shop pop-up over the weekend? It was nice sitting at the Greyhound just watching things go off. Don't you think? In between your double espressos and then more double espressos. I don't understand espressos, Tom.
Well, why?
Well, they're just too tiny. It's just like a little shot of coffee.
Oh, well, that depends on where you're getting it. We serve them right here at this Pose.
You had two of them, and they were pretty intense looking, I have to say. You don't like cappuccino as much as espresso. Why? You had a nice frothy cappuccino, and then you said you'll have another one, but not with the foam. I would think that cappuccino would be better than espresso, because it cuts down on the intensity of the coffee. But I guess if you're into espresso, you really want the Java jolt. Patty, do you drink cappuccino? Go ahead.
I do. I drink cappuccino. I love it. I love cappuccino.
More than espresso?
Yes.
Okay. Why? Same reason I just said.
I like coffee with milk. I like the foam. Uh-huh. Although I'm starting to drink regular coffee black, and I'm liking that. But cappuccino, I just like the foam, and I like to sprinkle a little nutmeg on top of it. And I just like it.
Yeah, it looks better to me than espresso, but I don't drink any of it. So, you know, I don't know. Did you say there was somebody on the line?
Yes, we have Dennis on the line, and he was at the pop-up Sunday.
Oh, good.
He wants to talk to you about it.
He was very nice. I'm glad he called. Hello there.
Hello, Mary. How are you today?
Thank you so much for calling and for going to the bake shop.
Oh, well, the pleasure was all mine and my wife's. I can assure you that. It was a very nice day. We got out of church, and it started raining in Metairie where we live, and it turned out that the weather was going to open up and be very sunny by the time we got across the lake, and it surely was. And then we got to the bakery, and wow, it was fantastic.
You drove from Metairie to go to the bake shop? I'm flattered and honored. I will tell her that.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was, I'm always looking for outing on some new things, and I like trying new things, and I knew it sounds like the quality was going to be there, and boy, was it ever. It was fantastic.
Thank you. And, she worked really hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and just watching Mary Lee go to work over there with the enthusiasm she has for what she does, and quantitative, but that what you guys talk about and what other people talk about with her, how a go-getter she is, and the high standards that she has. So
her standards are too high. We need to like, I'm so glad they made her bring out the strawberry chocolate scones, because they were really good. So we need to whip her into shape and make her more of a business person, but she does have very high standards.
Yes.
I was really thrilled with it. I thought it would be a fun place to maybe just hang out. I mean, obviously not for Metairie, but for us, it's close. So we're going to be spending a lot of time there on Sundays. It's a cute place, isn't it? I thought it was really
nice. Yeah, absolutely. It was. We enjoyed our stay there. And, you're saying what was the best thing I ate this weekend? I think it had to be the chocolate mousse cake she made with a hint of raspberry in it.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic. In fact, we took it to go, but then my wife said, well, we should taste it before we leave in case we want another one. So we did, and of course we wanted another one. So we had to go back and get another one. And we're big fans of the dark chocolate, and she just nailed it. It was so good. So good.
Yeah. It is a good cake. I was surprised that the cakes, that was the only thing that was left at the end of everything. Yeah, it was like there was about half of that cake left. And, so next time
what was the other cake she had? She had another cake, too. Then,
she did.
Since we're kind of chocolate person, we didn't try that one. So maybe next time we'll look for that.
I'll tell you, we're chocolate people, too. But that other cake is, she has a great vanilla cake, and it's vanilla, and it's turtle on the inside. So there's chocolate, and there's caramel with pecans. And the combination of those two fillings is really yummy. And that one went at the very end. There was like a fourth of that left, and one person came in and bought the rest of it. And so so she was able to bring the chocolate cake to her day job, because they did some great stuff for her. They made some signs and gave her those butcher blocks that the croissants were on. So I said, the least you can do is bring them some stuff. So it worked out fine. It worked out
fine. Oh, yeah, well, great. We also had the ice cream sandwich.
Oh, you did?
Oh, of course. We tried a lot of things, and as you said, the cookie part was really fantastic, and having that with the vanilla-like cream insides, it was perfect. It was a good mix of transitions from chocolate to cream, and it was very tasty, very tasty.
I didn't get one of those, but because I forgot about it, but I definitely will get one next time. Those are just really good. You know, usually when we make them, we use just like regular Breyers vanilla. But she went through the trouble of making this special ice cream, and I didn't get a chance to try the ice cream. So I really did want to try, I wanted to try it. So I'll get one of those next time.
Yeah. I heard you speaking earlier about the croissant with Tom's recipe with the ham, and I'm disappointed we didn't get that. I got the biscuit, the homemade biscuit with the egg and bacon, which was absolutely fantastic as well too. And my wife had gotten the scone, I think the chocolate with the strawberry in it, maybe.
Yeah.
And that was the best scone I've ever had. I've had it at the French bakeries in town here as well, too. And I'm not much of a scone person because usually they're too dry, and I kind of like it wasn't overly moist, but it was just perfect. In other words,
it was that, you know, she wasn't going to sell those. She wasn't going to sell them because they didn't meet her standards. And we said, bring those out here and sell those. And they were gone instantly. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they just look so good.
Tell her
everything
that.
Looks so good. Yeah.
I will tell
please
her.
Please do so. Well,
thank you so much. I hope to see you again. Go ahead. What? I'm sorry.
I hope so, too. And my wife says, got to find out when it's her my wife's birthday. She wants me to order one of those cakes from her. So, anyway, we've got a customer. Built-in customer here. So
tell her that. I will tell her that.
Yeah, thank
you. All right.
Thank you so much. It was great seeing you and Tom. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, so that was very self-indulgent. I'm not even going to apologize for it. I'm a proud mom. 556-9696. He was very nice. He came over and said hello. And I can't argue with anything that he said. All right, so Patty, you got to come over and meet us at the bake shop one Sunday.
I will.
Yeah, I think that.
So she's going to be there not next Sunday because it's Mother's Day, but the Sunday after.
Every Sunday after that.
And they have outside seating?
Well, they don't have outside seating, but maybe we'll ask them to do outside seating. The inside is, are you looking for outside seating, like? Is it a COVID thing or you just?
No, we bring our dog when we have outside seating.
Okay.
When they have outside seating, we'll bring her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will ask about that because we love their outside tables at Greyhound. And when we go, you know, like for dinner at night, we'll always sit outside. But for some reason, they didn't have them out, I guess because, you know, they didn't know how many people to expect. Maybe they will have them out next time. But it was really nice. We sat inside and, I don't know if you ever do that sort of thing where you just, you know, have the dog sit outside and you put him on a leash with the rail.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
There's big windows there and it's downtown Covington. So I think it would be safe, but you know, we've decided we're going to commandeer that one table right inside the bar. And that's going to be kind of where we'll hold court, drink mimosas and espresso from now on.
But Bloody Marys, too?
They do have Bloody Marys. They do, yes. And I think they had a big bar menu and a big coffee menu. And, I don't explore the bar menu, but they certainly did have, they were very busy with drinks and coffee. So, yeah, there's plenty beverages to accompany the desserts. So no, it's going to be a fun thing. I think it's going to be a thing because it's sorely needed in downtown Covington. And it's a really nice place. And it was just a fun, fun time. I think everybody was really excited to have it. There was this guy came in who works across the street at the Subway, and he says, I've been watching this all morning, and as soon as I got off, I came over. But it wasn't much left when he got there, so I think he'll be back for sure. Anyway, we are talking about called narrowcasting. That's what that's called. We're talking about our daughter Mary Lee's new venture, the bake shop. It's called Bogafalia Bake Shop, and it is popping up. It is popping up at the Greyhound on Sundays. Going forward, we're skipping Mother's Day because they're doing a Mother's Day brunch, which I would highly recommend. I don't know what's on the menu, but I am sure it will be good. 556-9696 is the number. If you want to talk to us, we're here. We would love to talk to you. You know what we watched last night before I turned it off because I couldn't stand it. It was so stupid. Speaking of airplanes, Airplane, that really sensationally popular movie from 1980. My gosh.
That was hysterical.
You know what, Patty? You should find it and look at it now because, you know, tastes change.
Yeah.
And I look at some of these things. Like, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm all about the innocent and the naive, you know. And I still think, like, Green Acres is hysterically funny.
Oh, Bob loves that show.
Hysterically
funny. Yeah, he thinks it's hysterical.
Yeah. But for the most part, I don't find that humor from that period to be all that funny. And I was looking at the roasts, you know, the Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra roast, and I thought those were funny, but in a different way. It's 3:30. It's time now for Louisiana Radio Network News. We'll be back after this.
Louisiana Radio Network News. I'm Kevin Gallagher. Three Lafayette cops are on administrative leave after shooting and disabling an alleged mass shooter Sunday. The suspect is 40-year-old Carl Thompson of New Iberia. He reportedly went on an early morning shooting spree, wounding 11 people before officers fired on him. Thompson is in critical condition now. The other victims are expected to recover. State police are investigating. The House Ways and Means Committee approves a proposal to begin phasing out a state temporary sales tax that is set to expire in July of 2025. Prairieville Representative Tony Bacala's bill would start incrementally cutting the 0.45% sales tax in the summer of 23. New Orleans Representative Matthew Willard suggested having a discussion on expiring that sales tax next year when there's a fiscal session. But Bacala says the sooner legislators address it, the better.
It isn't a comfortable conversation. It's going to be more uncomfortable the more we push it back. As hard as it is to talk about this year, it's going to be tougher next year, and it's going to be tougher the following year.
The full House will debate the measure next. This is news on LRN.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of Bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
When Bluebell takes milk chocolate ice cream and loads it with chocolate-coated peanut butter cups and peanut butter cookie dough pieces, you get chocolate peanut butter overload. Better by a country smile.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
Donate your vehicle and make a difference. WGSO 990 AM has partnered with Charitable Adult Rides and Services, also known as CARS, to allow you the opportunity to donate your car, truck, motorcycle, RV, or boat to our nonprofit organization. You may qualify for a tax deduction while supporting a cause that is near and dear to your heart. Simply go to WGSO.com and follow the link on our homepage. Vehicle donation pickup is always free to you, and most vehicles can be picked up within 24 to 72 hours. You'll receive an initial car donation receipt upon pickup, and then the CARS team will work to turn your car into cash to support our cause. Once your vehicle is sold, the CARS team will provide you proper tax forms in time to file. Their friendly donor support representatives are available 7 days a week to assist throughout the process. Again, for more information, go to WGSO.com.
I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madame, with you.
Yes, indeed. 556-9696 is the number. So, Patty, go back and find that movie and see what you think of it now.
I will. You know, I love, what's his name? Leslie Nielsen?
Yes.
I just love it. I think he's hysterical.
Okay, so I didn't even watch it long enough to see him get to it. It's Airplane with an exclamation mark, right? That's the name of the movie,
right? I think so. Mm-hmm.
And it starts out with that serious guy with the white hair. I don't know who it was. I'll have to look it up. But he's the one that's the pilot. And then Robert Hayes, who's really cute. Yeah, I feel like Julie Haggerty. Yeah, she was the flight attendant.
Yeah, that's them.
Yeah, so I didn't get to the part where Leslie Nielsen had come in yet. So maybe he's the one that made it funny. But I just sat through it for maybe 10 minutes and went, you know what? You ever have that feeling where you're watching a movie and you go, I'm not going to invest 2 hours of my
life. Oh, yeah,
in this.
Sure. We do that all the time. We pick movies off Netflix or Amazon Prime, and like 10 minutes into it, we're like, we're not going to watch this.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of an older, I like the older ones, but I don't know. There's maybe the 80s. I just didn't get it. But anyway, I think that there's maybe one movie like that per decade. So the one in the 90s was Napoleon Dynamite. And my kids were appalled by Napoleon Dynamite, and I was appalled by Airplanes. So maybe, you know, we just don't get it. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is that this was some dining meals in an airplane from 1927, which I can't even believe that we were flying that far back. 556-9696 is the number if you want to talk to me or Tom. We're here. We'd love to talk to you. I guess we do have to go on a train, Tom. I don't know when we will, but we're gonna try it.
It might come a day someday.
Yes, it might come a day someday that we can do that. We're gonna try and put you in training, Tom, to have you go in a car, see how far we can get in a car. You know what I want to do, Patty? Soon, we're going to do another one of those driving shows.
Mm-hmm. Where are you going?
I was thinking we were going to go to Doe's Eat Place in Mississippi. And then
Is that the beginning of the Tamale Trail or something?
I'm not sure if it's the beginning
but it's the end. Yeah, okay.
But it's one side of the Tamale Trail. So it could be that's the top of it, and then you work your way down. In which case, if that is the case, we will probably, you know, work our way down from there and stop and get tamales at different places. I know Stan's done it. And he can probably give us a little gauge on places that we really do need to stop in and get the Delta tamales. But I've been obsessed not really, really obsessed like I can be, about Doe's Eat Place since Tom explained it to me in the beginning of our relationship. And I thought that any place that's that weird has got to be something, you know, that we have to try just to say we've been mm-hmm. there. I had no idea that they were franchised now.
Isn't there one in Baton Rouge?
Locations. Yeah, there is. Yeah, have you ever been to that one?
No, but I remember somebody calling saying that there was one in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I just, I was surprised by that. So I think there's maybe 10, and I think that might be the newest one, but I had no idea that it was here. 556-9696, Raisin Day. Who eats raisins? Do you eat raisins, Patty?
I do. I like raisins.
Do you snack on raisins?
Sometimes, yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You do, okay. And you like the dark ones or the golden ones?
I like the dark ones.
Yeah, the golden ones, I don't know. I'm not a big raisin fan. Period. And I definitely don't eat them in anything. Do you eat oatmeal raisin cookies? Do you like those? Patty?
Hang on. I'm sorry. We're having some streaming issues, so I'm trying to deal with that.
Yes, you do have streaming yes. issues, because I've gotten a couple of texts saying, why aren't you streaming?
Yeah, we're trying to figure that out.
Okay. All right.
So sit tight. You talk
well, good, because this is what I would consider to be a very much lackluster show. So if half the people who would normally stream it don't hear it, it's no big loss, I guess. Anyway, National Raisin Day was Saturday, the last day of April. Raisins are ultra-ripe red grapes. They remain on the vine until wrinkled and intensely sweet. That must be why I don't like raisins, because they're too sweet. The same effect comes from picking the grapes and letting them ripen in open baskets. Raisins are very good for you, but not everyone likes them. In every pan of bread pudding, in which raisins are a common ingredient, don't you put all the raisins, Tom, to one side?
Oh, yeah, bread pudding goes right into that.
I'm finding that not many bread puddings anymore have raisins, do you think?
It's less so true than when it used to be.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that.
Now it's a trickling.
Yeah, I think that probably, you know, if I had a business and I saw that a dish that I served repeatedly, more often than not, came back to me with a particular ingredient right there that no one wanted to eat, I surely wouldn't spend the money to put that ingredient in whatever dish it is going forward. You could save yourself the money. See, I'm already thinking about business to help Mary Lee. So Tom puts his raisins aside. I would certainly do that. The strangest use of raisins that Tom ever heard of was a game played in England a century ago. You put raisins in a bowl of brandy and ignite them in a darkened room. The game was to reach into the flames and pluck out raisins, then eat them. They'd still be on fire, but as soon as you closed your mouth, the flames would be extinguished. We do not recommend this game. You know, those people who would play that game are probably the same people who eat the fugu, the fish, the puffer fish. Yeah, anyway, really, well, there's no other word to say it but crazy. 556-9696. If you want to talk to us, we're here. We'd love to talk to you. It's May. Good grief. It's May. So it's time to start thinking about summer types of foods. A lot more light salads. A lot more light eating in general. And we didn't do that today. Instead of having a salad, I made some potato salad, which I have to say was pretty good. I was excited to use our dill, which I would say that I have about two-thirds of the crops that I had, I still have, I'm happy to say. So dill is one of them. And I've been using an awful lot of fresh dill lately, and I used it just now. I wish I had remembered to put a little tarragon in the potato salad because I think that that would have made it good. Do you like tarragon and potato salad, Tom?
Tarragon and
tarragon, just a little hint of tarragon in the potato salad.
Yeah, but be careful. You don't want to load it up.
No, tarragon has a very pronounced flavor. And while I like it, it tastes sometimes, it reminds me of vanilla. And I think one time I made a fool out of myself by saying that there was vanilla in my fish sauce, but it was really tarragon. It kind of is a vanilla-y taste, and it's also kind of, I won't say anise, but maybe tarragon has a little bit of an anise flavor too. 556-9696 is the number. Let's see. Fred Allen about grapes, a radio comedian of the 30s and 40s, said, "A raisin is just a worried grape." I might try to do some drying of my own grapes and see if I can make my own raisins that way, because I think that that would be another fun project. Every now and then I look at my olives that are still sitting where they were, and I feel like I should probably try them again. But I'm a little bit scared because they've been sitting there a really long time now. 556-9696 is the number. If you want to talk to me, I would love to talk to you. I want to tell you about Baker Farms Popcorn Rice in Gaydon, Louisiana. Roy Baker's grandfather started farming popcorn rice. It's a unique flavored rice. Four generations later, Roy Baker is farming the same popcorn rice. It is rice perfection, I call it. It fluffs up when you cook it. Doesn't need any salt, doesn't need any butter. It's perfect as is. But Roy insists that if you use it in your red beans and rice, your red beans and rice will be highly superior to anything else. I believe that. I totally believe it. Same thing is true of your gumbo, of your shrimp etouffee, or any Louisiana dish that you would use rice for. If you substitute popcorn rice, it will be so much better. But it is perfect all by itself. Roy Baker is farming Baker Farms popcorn rice. If you search that on the web, it will come up Campbell Farms. You can order right from the website. You can also buy it at Martin Wine Cellar. Or you can call them directly, 337-536-7052. That is Baker Farms popcorn rice. We'll be back after these messages.
Those are irresistible.
For serving their house-made roast beef po' boys, seafood po' boys, and even a French fry po' boy in a fast, casual environment. Here is an extensive menu of salads and sandwiches and fried seafood, baskets and platters, as well as sides like stuffed artichokes, meat pies, and jalapeno cheese bites. And we love the very attentive service here at Mandeville Seafood Restaurant and Market, celebrating 25 years.
I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madame, with you.
Thank you, Tom. I also want to tell you about Maurice's French Pastries. Jean-Luc Albin came from across the pond and settled here in New Orleans, bringing his delicious European baking traditions with him, setting up Maurice's French Pastries over there in Hesmer. That's where you'll find 25 different versions of Kugelhopf, 7 different kinds of Dauberge cakes, and pretty much anything in the bakery universe. There are exemplary versions of the puff pastry vol-au-vent, or as we call them here, the oyster patty shell. You can get them in big sizes for your crawfish cream sauce or any kind of shrimp dish or even lobster Newberg. Or for your stuffed oyster patties, they have the little ones. They have chocolate tarts and eclairs and fruit tarts and Paris breast and Russian cake, Napoleons. Really, anything that you could possibly be looking for. If you need individual pastries for your next party, Maurice's French Pastries. Go have a cup of coffee, sit down, watch the goings on. There's a lot going on there. If you're looking for a showstopper dessert, they have the 3 specialty king cakes in 5 different sizes, the Ponchatoula strawberry, General Foster, and the bourbon pecan, and cakes and crostini. Go see them. Maurice's French Pastry. It's a little white building about a block off Veterans on Hesmer. 3 flags out front make it unmistakable. You can call them at 885-1526 to place your next order. The address for Maurice's French Pastry is 3501 Hesmer in Metairie. Let's go to Sal. Hey, Sal.
Oh, good
Sal
afternoon.
Still there? Hi.
Yep, I'm here. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I want to do a restaurant report, and I know y'all have talked about it before, but we went for the first, well, I'll say for the first time. I've gone for lunch before and had a sandwich, and we've picked up pizza for the kids and taken it out. But for the first time, we actually sat down and ate at Leonardo's in Mandeville.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I've got to say that that is more than just a little pizzeria place.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. I had no idea if Mr. Leo came over from over the pond. They make everything in-house except for maybe 2 or 3 desserts, which even more impressively, they get from their family's restaurant in Italy.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
They have a family's that he came from Italy. There's a restaurant there that makes some of the things that he doesn't make here, but they import it from their own family's restaurant in Italy. And they were telling me the only pasta that they don't make is the gnocchi because it takes the potatoes to be fermented. And as he said, it's a week-long process before they can make a gnocchi pasta and they just buy a real good quality of that. But wow, what an impressive little place. The pizza was unbelievable. The crust, you'll appreciate this, that the crust is very comparable to that of the Greyhound. And, of course, all the sauces and toppings are, of course, more traditional Italian. And it was really, really good. We really enjoyed
good.
It. We'll
I'm
be
glad
back.
You liked it. What did you get? Did you get anything besides pizza?
No, we didn't. We got two big pizzas for the table, and my little boy was not in the mood for pizza, surprisingly enough, and he had the fettuccine Alfredo, which we all stole a taste of when he got up from the table, and that was very impressive, too. The specials, which we did not get, and I kind of regret it, although we were all in the mood for pizza, were they just sounded incredible. They had mussels and shrimp with linguine, and they had a redfish dish with another kind of pasta, I think rigatoni, and then there was a short rib special with spaghetti, and it was like, whoa. I thought this was just a little pizza place in a strip mall that served gelato, but this is really over-the-top, true Italian food.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a cult favorite restaurant, and I actually think the pizza is the least of what they do there. That's my least favorite thing that I've ever had.
I would imagine it is, but I have to say, is the few times that we've ordered out and picked up pizza there, I will say again and again and again, it doesn't compare to when you sit down and eat it fresh out of the oven in the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
There's just something about it.
I still think that's like the least of what they do. I think their pastas are really good. That is a, like I said, a cult restaurant. And just from the time he arrived on the scene in that little space, people have been just clamoring to get in there. And then he put that second space there. And it's kind of like two different restaurants. They both have a completely different vibe. You know, one.
They do.
They really do.
And I have to say, the young man who waited on us was incredibly charming, affable, knowledgeable, just very friendly, understood the menu, understood what they did and how they did it. Obviously, he's been there a while or knows Mr. Leo personally, but very, very, very impressive wait staff, the young man that waited on us. And he was very attentive, but not overly so hovering.
Yeah.
And that's really what really think makes a good server.
Yeah.
And
I think it's a good place. I think it's a good place. We're not as enthusiastic as most people about it because there are people who are really, really crazy about it. I mean, we think it's a good restaurant. We like to go there, but, you know.
I tell you what, though, for five of us and a bottle of wine.
Oh, yeah. I know where you're going.
Yeah, I've sat down with and eaten an appetizer and two drinks and paid more.
Yeah,
at different restaurants. Places.
That's what
a
I say about that.
Bargain.
They've got the great triumvirate there. They have great prices, large portions, and delicious food. Sometimes you can have those first two things, and the food is just ordinary. That's not true here. It's also delicious food. So when you've got those three things going for you, you know it's going to be packed.
Yep. And on the topic of the day, and along with your commercial sponsor, one of the things that I've had raisins in, it was a recipe that I did a while back from one of Emerald's cookbooks, and it was rice pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And you cook the rice in milk and cream with a little vanilla and golden raisins. And the raisins just plump up as they cook in the milk with the rice. And I was just listening to the commercial and I was thinking, popcorn rice would really be good with that dish.
You know, I think that popcorn rice would definitely give it a different flavor, for sure.
For sure.
But I'm just a purist when it comes to popcorn rice. I love it so much that I just like eating it by itself. I do. I feel like if you did anything else to it, you would sort of suffocate the flavor that's so special about it. But do it. I want to hear about it. I want to hear
about
it.
I'd love to. I don't do it very often, but it was just one of the things. And raisins are one of those things where people either like it or they don't. And
absolutely.
When it comes to desserts and dishes, they either really like it without it or they really like it with it. Carrot cake is another thing that comes to mind. I know people that just will not put raisins in their carrot cake. And I know people that will not make carrot cake unless they have raisins in it. So it's one of those polarizing ingredients.
I wonder what the proportion of people who like raisins is to people who don't. It's kind of like the question we asked earlier. Do most people drink or not?
And this is the funny thing about me as a caller and me as a foodie. I could go either way. I love carrot cake with raisins. I love carrot cake without it. And I feel the same way about bread pudding and other things too.
About that go into there. It's
yeah.
A little puzzle.
I don't know. I think that I would be really curious to see what the actual statistics are on people who eat raisins versus not. I mean, I will eat raisins. Like for some reason, we had raisins on the pantry shelf. And it was borne out more by my nuttiness about not letting things go to waste. But I ate them, you know. But I don't ever need to eat a raisin or an asparagus again. So we'll see what people really
Well, y'all have a great afternoon. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for being on the air.
Thank you, Sal. Appreciate it. 556-9696. Patty, do we have somebody tomorrow? I don't know if you sent me that. I'm sure you did. Okay. Uh-huh. I'll bet it's... Okay. Where'd you find out about it? Yeah. I'll bet you I know exactly where it is. I'll bet you it's in the same area that the old Kmart was in Mandeville, which has the juicery in there. And that's it. Oh, no, he's not. So that shopping center has morphed into a gigantic thing. So probably yes. Probably yes. I think he's probably talking about the newer part of it. It's called URT. Okay. Okay, I'm sure I'm not going to get it either, but anyway. All right, that's it for the show for today. So that's who we have on tomorrow. We would love for you to tell a friend about the show because, you know, we have fun. And I was talking to Dennis while we were at the bake shop, and he was saying that he always listens at night. And I thought that's a good way to fall asleep, chuckling about silly stuff that we talk about here on the air. So please tell a friend about the show because, you know, it's harmless, good fun. And we, I think, need a lot more of that in the world now.
Yes.
Tom has been working at this food writing for a very long time. He has amassed an enormous body of work. It can be found on nomenu.com. That's nomenu.com. That is the online version of his beautiful New Orleans menu newsletters that he did with a typesetter machine for so long. You can go to nomenu.com and type in anything in the search bar. I guarantee something will come up. I can't tell you the number of times I've been sent links to our own website whenever I inquire about something. You'll find 400 recipes there, extinct restaurants, restaurant reviews, a list of all open restaurants, anything you want to know, nomenu.com. Go to the top right hand of the front page, sign up for the newsletter. Comes out twice a month. Our Instagram is at the New Orleans Menu. We would love for you to follow us there. Tim McNally up next, WGSO New Orleans. It's time now for the news from Louisiana Radio Network.
Louisiana Radio Network News, I'm Kevin Gallagher. Three Lafayette cops are on administrative leave after shooting and disabling an alleged mass shooter Sunday. The suspect is 40-year-old Carl Thompson of New Iberia. He reportedly went on an early morning shooting spree, wounding 11 people before officers fired on him. Thompson is in critical condition now. The other victims are expected to recover. State police are investigating. The House Ways and Means Committee approves a proposal to begin phasing out a state temporary sales tax that is set to expire in July of 2025. Prairieville Representative Tony Bacala's bill would start incrementally cutting the 0.45% sales tax in the summer of 23. New Orleans Representative Matthew Willard suggested having a discussion on expiring that sales tax next year when there's a fiscal session. But Bacala says the sooner legislators address it, the better.
It isn't a comfortable conversation. It's going to be more uncomfortable the more we push it back. As hard as it is to talk about this year, it's going to be tougher next year, and it's going to be tougher the following year.
The full House will debate the measure next.